Amén.
Praise God.
Señor, amén.
Amen. So thank God for that. That's a very powerful testimony. To be open to the Holy Spirit, you know, in terms of going about, you know, and preaching the gospel, people that God brings our way. That's also a prayer point. We pray that, you know, the Lord brings people our way, and God brings us to ways of people. And then God also helps us to also ways in which we actually even reach more people in addition, you know, to ones that, you know, comes our way. As I could see in the area of Paul, I see that he was very systematic in terms of the way he went about. And remember the example I mentioned about network marketing? It was just a strategic thing. So write down all the people you know, your friends, neighbors, your colleagues at school, your colleagues at work, and all that. Invite them to this network marketing thing. And I'll just look at it. This is actually preaching the gospel. Of course, it all starts with prayer. So you're not just launching out, launching, praying, and looking for God's open. We're intentionally praying for these people, intentionally praying for opportunities. God's open opportunities and us seizing those opportunities. Let's go on quickly to point number four. Paul's ministry was accompanied by miracles, signs, and wonders. Acts chapter 13, verse 4 to 12. And Acts 14, 8 to 9, 8 to 10. Acts 13, 4 to 12. Acts 14, 8 to 10. Yes, anybody can read it.
Acts 13, 4 to 12. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, on desire to hear the word of God. Ananias the sorcerer, for he, so is his name by interpretation, which stood then, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from there, returned to Jerusalem. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day.
Amen. Acts 14, 8 to 10. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped up and walked. Praise God. So Paul's ministry was accompanied by miracles, signs, and wonders, as we've read in those two scriptures. Of course, there were some other ones, loads of other ones in other missionary journeys. We're just using these ones as examples. Do we have any thoughts around this? Because bearing in mind, we're not just studying it for studying, this is what happened in Paul. The whole idea is that how can this, what we're looking at, be applied in our own individual lives in terms of living the gospel, demonstrating the gospel and sharing the gospel. Praise God. So any thoughts or any questions around this? Or any testimonies we have?
We know very well that the gospel essentially means us about the good news, eternal life in Jesus. But miracles and signs and wonders goes with the ministry of the word because it helps. It opens doors for ministry. And so as we preach the gospel, as we get clarity on what God wants us to do, as well as sharing the gospel, we need to also pray, equip ourselves with the power from on high, so that, you know, as we minister the word of God, we can also minister to people in their difficult, you know, situations. You will, you know, observe that Jesus, you know, was doing that, you know, effectively, and, you know, discover that the gospel may not make so much meaning to people who are suffering, people who are passing through very difficult times. And so we need to, you know, trust God to use us to meet all, to meet people's needs. And some other times it may not necessarily be physical miracles. It could be that God wants us to meet people's needs through social actions. People who are hungry, people who are naked, people who are in prison. You know, we need to meet those needs. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. I've been told that I have I think I have only 1 minute left in terms of our timing. But let's quickly look at point five. Paul and his companions experienced great successes and persecutions. Let's look at Acts chapter 14, 1 to 7. Let's read those, let's read that, and Acts 14, 19 to 20. So Acts 14, 1 to 7. I read, "Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke to a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part sided with the apostles. Then a violent attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there." Acts 14, 19 to 20. "When the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." Amen. Any thoughts on this one very briefly because of our time, or questions on persecution in living and preaching the gospel? Realize that persecution comes as part and parcel of being followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Paul was writing to Timothy. You know, say that endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And things we read 1 Timothy 4, 12, also when talking about, you know, that we live a godly life in this world, we'll suffer persecution. So we should not be surprised where we suffer, you know, persecutions because of our faith, because of our belief in Jesus Christ. It could come in a subtle way, or it could be, you know, overt, like we see in the area in Paul. And we could also acknowledge that there are other Christians in other parts of the world that are actually suffering persecution, like physical persecution, because of their belief in Jesus Christ. For example, maybe in some like some Islamic countries or places like, for example, like northern Nigeria, you know, houses have been burned down, people have been murdered and massacred and all those kind of things. It's not like that in the maybe in the developed world, but there's like a subtle persecution in the sense that, oh, you must be a stupid person to believe in the existence of God, you know, things like that. You know, that, you know, science explains everything and all those kind of things. Or being marginalized. These are subtle ways. You see later on in one of these, I think it was in Acts 19, where Paul was being mocked when he went to the city of Lehi in Athens, preaching to them about God. They mocked him. They said, who is this? What was talking about? They were so puffed up in their knowledge and their learning. Persecution can come in different ways. And we should not allow those things, you know, to pull us back. Or rather, we should receive strength from the Lord. Because it's, when persecution comes, that's how the successes come. All this persecution, you know, sometimes will build us up so that we look unto him and him alone. And it's also good for us. This just came to my mind, really. Let's also pray for Christians all over the world that are suffering persecution, continually based in a persistent basis. Let's pray for them. Let's intercede for them. We are all part of the one body of Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Because of our time, we're going to stop here. Does anyone have anything to say briefly because of time? I want to make sure we keep to time. Praise the Lord. I'm beginning to pray right now.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, I'm breaking up.
Quickly share on that issue. I just want to quickly share about that issue of persecution. You know, when there is things like that, it's very good for the body of Christ to support one another, because it always encourages people, either young Christian or people that have grown in the Lord. It's very good when we connect with one another, because like my own personal experience, I remember when I gave my life to Christ, the persecution is not even from us. Like, it was within my family, and you know, people see me as like an outcast. They saw me like someone that has brought shame to the family, you know, being a Catholic and other things like that. And they try everything to frustrate me. I remember even denying me of certain things that they have done for my sister during their wedding. They denied me completely. But you know, what encouraged me that time was the love of the brethren. Even brethren at that time, they were really, really verbally, psychologically, I don't want to say abused. You know, openly, my family member attacked them openly, verbally, and other things like that. But they didn't give up. They didn't say, the brethren, they didn't say, okay, because of this one, let's just keep away. No, they were there always, even when they were abused and other things like that. So it's very, very good when people are passing through things like that, that the body of Christ should encourage and continue supporting them prayerfully and psychologically, because it's always bring out good results. And it's always, you know, allow people to know the type of God we are serving, that is God of love, and we are united in Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Let's pray. I believe God has spoken to us in regards to today's Bible study. We've not even finished section one. There are three sections to look at. But let us pray. I believe God has spoken to us in various ways. You know, we started, you know, looking at Paul's missionary journeys, talking about the fact that he embarked on three over an 11-year period. And purpose for this is to learn some things from his life, which we can apply in our own lives. We talked about the fact that one of the ways we preach the gospel, you know, is by showing love, social action, but also being proactive, not just resting on our laurels. Being strategic in terms of where we go to, and mapping out, you know, places and people that we know, and being able to pray for them. The starting point is prayer, and then we talked about, you know, that the Paul's ministry was accompanied by signs, miracles, signs, and wonders. God is the same God that worked powerfully through Paul. Is also the same God that's in us, the same Jesus that's in us, the same Holy Spirit that's in us, wants to work powerfully through us. And the same God is there to strengthen us and strengthen other brethren as they suffer persecution, who are suffering persecution. Even the people here right now, they are suffering one form of persecution or the other because of your faith. Let's lift up all these things that we've learned today unto the Lord. That Lord will help us personally and help us collectively. And also pray and strength, pray for strength for those who are suffering persecution. Those who maybe their faith is being weakened right now, maybe because of any challenge they are facing. Help God and pray in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, oh God. Father, Lord, that you open our eyes to the specifics that you have for us individually in terms of the what we've learned from this Bible study. There is so much, oh God, so much opportunity to, oh God, to taste the love of Jesus Christ, to demonstrate his love, his power, oh God, to preach the gospel, but raise disciples. Lord, our prayers, God, you help us to play up, oh God, and Father, Lord, to play our part in the big picture that you have. We pray, Lord, that you uphold everyone, oh God, listening to this right now. Maybe they're struggling in one area or the other, in area of their faith, oh God. They are trusting you. Maybe facing strong challenges of persecution. We pray for the all-surpassing power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, Lord, for breakthrough, Lord, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We exalt their horn like the unicorn, anoint them with fresh oil. Let them be lifted, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, look at them in the night. A door comes in the morning. We pray the door of the Lord break forth. The door of the Lord, the strength of the Lord break forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless you, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.
God bless you, Pastor Lily, and God bless everyone. We're going to the next thing, which will be offering all of this. It's time for offering. We're reading from Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. All must give as they are able, according to the blessing given to them by the Lord your God. This shows that we should all give what we are able to give in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. The bank transfer details are on the screen, so you can transfer the money that we are able to give now.
Heavenly Lord, your name is wonderful, your name is excellent, your name is beautiful. I worship you, Lord, for you are mighty. You got the whole world in your hands. Heavenly Lord, your name is wonderful. Your name is excellent. Your name is beautiful. We worship you, Lord, for you are mighty. You've got the whole world in your hand. You've got the whole world in your hands. You've got the whole wide world. In your hands, you've got the whole world. In your hands, you've got the whole world. In your hands.
Amen.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for today, for helping us.